Thank you so much. I love that song, We Shall Assemble. That's going to happen, and we want all of us to be a part of that. Thank you, Herb, for leading us in those songs of worship and praise. We've come here together today as a church family. We've come here today to worship our God together, and that's what we're doing, and that's a wonderful privilege. Worship is a powerful, powerful thing that in the mind of God, He gifted to us and asked us to be involved in, not only to give Him the worship He's due, but because He knew the power of what worship can do within our hearts. Dynamic worship is something that can inspire us, make us want to live more faithful and devoted lives for the Lord. And that's the reason why, as a church, we see the value of worship and always trying to work harder at engaging our hearts further into the depths of worship to God. And so with that in mind, we are continuing to preview what's going to be happening with our Praise and Harmony Workshop, April the 21st through the 23rd. We hope that you'll be making plans to be a part of that. And you've been hearing about that, and I bet you've been wondering, well, exactly what is this Praise and Harmony Workshop going to be like? Well, we're going to look at a little video here for about 5 minutes where Keith Lancaster, who's going to be coming to be with us to help lead that workshop, introduces and gives an overview of what the workshop is going to look like.
Congratulations on planning a Praise and Harmony weekend. We pray that this will be much more than just a great singing event, but if you do the prescribed preparations, this can be a catalyst for long-term growth in your singing and your worship. The weekend consists of four distinctly different sessions. First is a limited gathering on Friday. The primary workshop is on Saturday. Combined class on Sunday, and the regular worship assembly on Sunday as well. Let's look at each one of those sessions individually. The third session is a Sunday morning combined discussion class. We ask you to invite all the adult classes, all the teenage classes into one session so we can have a vibrant and meaningful discussion on worship. Now, it would be helpful if we had an additional handheld wireless microphone, a roving microphone, so that we can amplify the comments of this class. And this is always a very helpful time. The fourth session is the actual Sunday morning worship assembly. If your preacher is not in the middle of a series, we ask him if he would consider speaking on singing or worship, praise and singing, something to go along with the weekend. We also request that if he would shorten his sermon somewhat to allow for extra singing, more songs than you would normally have on a given Sunday. That way we can continue the theme of the singing and worship emphasis for the entire weekend.
So if you've not already purchased one of the CDs to help prepare for that workshop, we've got those available, and we'd encourage you to pick one up in the foyer as we conclude the assembly today. They're $12 each. We want every family to get one to be learning these songs as we prepare for the Praise and Harmony Workshop. As a part of that preparation, starting next Sunday night at 5:15 here in the auditorium, we're going to have some practice sessions where we start to listen to those songs together and try to learn to sing them together. That'll happen every Sunday night on off small group Sundays starting next week until the workshop at 5:15. So we want to encourage you to make your plans to be a part of that as well. Well, as you can tell, I got a little bit of a different setup here this morning. And as we move into 2017, the reason that I wanted to have this kind of setup is because as we start a new year, I want to be able to just kind of sit down with you and talk with your heart. Just sit down together and have a conversation about some things that are most meaningful in our spiritual walks with the Lord. As we get started, I think one of the things that's on my heart that I want to share with you is there's a bitter, sweet kind of feeling that I have today, because today is the last day that Andy and Ashley and their family will be with us. And I can't tell you how blessed that my life has been personally. We've been blessed as a church thanks to Andy and Ashley and their ministry here the last several years that they've been here with us. And we wish you the best, And we hope and pray that that you find your new work to be something that's fulfilling and expands the kingdom in rich and wonderful ways. And we know that that'll be the case, and the Lord will continue to use you and your family. And just feel the need to say that this morning. As we start a new year, a lot of us, we're starting to think about what kind of new habits that we need to start developing in our lives. What things do I need to start doing differently in my life? Different behaviors that I need to adopt, or maybe bad behaviors that I need to stop doing. And as we start to think about those new kind of habits that we need to have in our lives, you know, it can be overwhelming. Because I know when I start looking at my life and assessing my life, the list is pretty long when I'm real honest about the things that I need to change in my life. It's like, you know what, I need to exercise more, or start exercising. I need to eat better. I need to stop snacking so much. I need to cut down on the sugar. I need to spend more time with my kids doing meaningful things. I need to invest more in my marriage. I need to work on my own attitude, having a better attitude with people. I need to not be so self-focused, but pour into the lives of other people. I need to be more generous. I need to be more kind. For some of us, maybe we need to stop smoking, or we need to stop using tobacco, or whatever the habit, bad habit is that we want to kick. And so the list becomes really long when you start thinking about, okay, habits for the new year. It can be rather overwhelming, and it can crush you under the weight of all of that stuff you need to change. And so where do you start? Well, there's been some significant research that I've learned about this week that's been conducted over the past several years on the issue of habits. And the research has found that if you will start one positive habit in your life, many times a significant habit change in your life will spill over into many other areas of your life too. Researchers call this keystone habits. They get the idea of a keystone habit is like a stone, you know, in an archway. This stone that is at the top that holds all the other stones together. It is the keystone. A keystone habit is a particular habit that you start in your life that significantly alters and improves other aspects of your life too. For example, researchers give these kinds of tips. If you start deciding, I'm going to start getting up at a regular time every morning at an earlier time, and I'm going to make sure that I get a good breakfast in the morning. Or I'm going to start making sure that I eat a meal all together with my family. Or every morning I'm going to make the bed. It's going to be a habit I'm going to start. Every morning make the bed before I leave the house. These seem like small things, but researchers have found when you start a significant habit like that, it actually increases work productivity and general state of mind of happiness in your life. It spills over. These are keystone habits. Well, whenever we think about really the deep kind of habits that you and I need to be developing in our lives, when it comes to our spiritual walk, there are certainly some keystone habits that we need to be focusing in on. And that's what I want us to look at over the next few weeks, starting today in this new series called Habits of Grace. We're going to look at three keystone habits, three really simple habits that you can start in your life that will have significant spillover into almost every other area of your spiritual health and well-being. Three really simple things that if you'll make the choice to make them an integrated, consistent habit and practice in your life, it will help you to have a deeper, more fulfilled, vital spiritual life. So we're going to look together today, starting with the first of these three simple habits of how to kindle a love for Jesus in you and how to encourage and fan into flame the Spirit's presence in your life by these three simple things. Now, the first of these that we're going to look at The passage that is the basis for it is Matthew chapter 4. So if you want to look in your Bibles, this is our primary text this morning. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now, I've got the one verse, verse 4 on the screen, but let's look at the context here. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, I want us to really focus in on this one verse, verse number 4, to look at one of the most primary and important spiritual habits you can develop in your life if you want to thrive in your spiritual relationship with the Lord. The first major habit is learning to consistently hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. Jesus says this is vitally important. In fact, he uses the language here to show that this is so important. It is the center for real spiritual strength. Because Jesus is facing legitimate temptation in the wilderness. And what gives him the strength to endure that temptation? It comes in his first response. You can't get through life and really live a vibrant, spiritually strong life just by physical food alone. You need spiritual food. You need to feast on, be nourished by, feed on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is the bread of the soul that will sustain your spirit and give you strength within. Now, when Jesus says man shall not live by bread alone, he's not necessarily just talking about, you know, white bread or cornbread, some kind of bread product. Jesus is using bread here, and consistently this is true through Scripture, that bread is used as a representative image for food generally. Jesus is basically saying, you know, you can't really expect to live a spiritually vibrant life if all you're focused in on are your physical needs that sustain your physical body. If you neglect the things that nourish and strengthen the inner self, you're going to be a shell of a person. You're never going to know the vibrancy of life that the Lord has planned for you if you're not nourishing the inner self. And so Jesus uses this imagery of bread in talking about the word of the Lord, and he's giving us this idea of the nourishment that the Lord's word can provide you and me. Now, what word is he speaking of? Now notice again what verse 4 says. Jesus answered and said, "It is written." Now when Jesus says it is written, he's talking about the written, recorded words of the Lord found in Scripture. It's much the same as what Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, when he speaks about all Scripture is literally the breath of God. It proceeds from God's mouth. And so when he speaks of Scripture, or it is written, coming from the mouth of God, he's talking about what is written in Holy Scripture. And what is written in Holy Scripture is not just empty words on a page. It is literally the breath of God, literally the voice of God. Are you tuned into, am I, the voice of God, listening to what the voice of the Lord is saying. Now, the particular passage that Jesus is quoting from here is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we've got this passage where the Lord is giving instruction to the children of Israel, and he's saying to them, you need to listen to my commands. You need to absorb my instructions. You need to listen to my voice. That's back in verse 2. And he continues and he says, the Lord humbled you. Moses is speaking. He says, the Lord humbled you. And he caused you to hunger when you were wandering in the wilderness. You had physical hunger. He caused you to hunger. And then what did he do? He provided the nourishment that you needed to satisfy that physical hunger by providing you manna, literal bread, the bread of angels falling from the sky for them to collect and gather and be nourished from. He says he caused you to experience physical hunger in the wilderness, and then he provided the means by which that hunger could be satisfied by bringing this manna from heaven. But now, what was the main thrust of what God was trying to communicate to them? More than just providing for their physical needs, he's trying to teach them a lesson, which neither you nor your ancestors had known to teach, that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So you see, this is the passage Jesus is quoting to Satan in the temptation in Matthew 4, and Jesus is trying to drive home the point that there is something more vital to you than just your physical well-being and physical health. There is another part of you and me that needs consistent nourishment in order to live and thrive and be what you really want to be. And that is your inner self. Scripture, what is written, the voice of the Lord and hearing it consistently, is what provides bread to the soul. You see, your faith, the faith you hold, is like a living entity within you. And if you, friend, don't feed your faith will die. And you say, how do you feed faith? There's a passage over in Romans 10 that tells us, verse 17, now we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ. It is by consistently being tuned into and listening to the Word of the Lord that fuels and feeds your faith. And if you don't fuel it and feed it, it will die. But you know, Bible reading is kind of hard. A lot of us, I talk to Christians and we talk a lot in Bible classes and in personal conversations, and I've talked to some of you and about Bible reading, and for some of us, it's just really tough to consistently read the Bible. In fact, statistics show that a lot of committed Christians don't read the Bible on a very regular basis at all, other than when coming to church and hearing it preached. And why is Bible reading hard? Well, for some of us, we hated reading in school. I don't know if I want to ask for a raising of hands, but some of us hated reading. I got some volunteers back there, okay? Some of us, we hated to read. Some of us, at the thought of school, we start to break out in hives. I mean, we get a cold sweat when we think about study. And we don't want any part of that, and it's really tough. In fact, I don't know how many of you, there's a few back here, some of you I know, that really for fun like to read ancient literature, like Shakespeare or some kind of ancient document. But for many of us, that sounds like a bore, let's just be honest. And so for many of us, consistent reading of Scripture, a 2,000-plus old document, doesn't seem very engaging, at least on the surface. And so for us, for many of us, the only time we read the Bible is maybe for these purposes. Maybe you read the Bible because you just feel like you need a little bit of life help. In other words, life's not going the way that you think it ought to go. You're kind of hitting some bumps in the road. And you know, you respect the Bible. You believe it's God's Word. And so you flee to the Bible for a little life help. It's kind of like before Christmas morning, what some of us dads have to do. As dads, many times what we do before Christmas morning or before a birthday or something else, you know, you got to put together the toy that you're going to give to your kids. One year, we got our kids a trampoline. It had like a million parts and a million steps that you had to follow to put together this trampoline. I was up for hours trying to put this thing together. And you know what we do, many of us, what we do when it comes to that? I will try every way to try to figure out how to put it together on my own. And the only time I consult the instructions is when I hit a bump in the road. Now that's the way many of us do with life. We don't really give any serious consideration to Scripture. I mean, we respect it. We know it's God's Word. We know that we ought to be reading it. But we don't really ever look at it seriously until we hit a major bump in the road and we need a little bit of life help. And it's then that we consult the instructions. Now, for some of us, the only time we read the Bible is whenever we want to prove that we're right. You know, I got a belief or I think something is right or wrong, and I'm trying to convince a neighbor. And so I treat the Bible like a random Google search. And I pull open the concordance or the browser, and I search for, what does the Bible say? How many of you have done this? What does the Bible say about? I had an uncle one time that, I want to be fair, I don't know how much that he studied his Bible. I get the impression that he didn't study it a whole lot on his own. But I remember one time he was getting into a spirited debate with his neighbor about why abortion is sinful. And I get a phone call, because I'm a preacher, and I'm supposed to have the answers. So I get a phone call from my uncle, and he says, tell me all the verses that I can prove to this guy that abortion is sinful. Well, see, he's treating the Bible like I need to be able to find the proof to show him I'm right. And that's the only time maybe some of us really look at the Bible seriously. For some of us, we look at the Bible because we need a little bit of inspiration. So we treat the Bible like a Hallmark card. And so we open it up to just get a little verse of the day to kind of give me a little boost, give me a little shot in the arm to be able to move through my day. Well, Jesus, here's my point. Jesus is making us see here in Matthew 4 that we should go beyond all those kinds of approaches when it comes to the Bible, and we should treat Scripture like bread that is needed for survival. Not something you go to the cupboard for when you just want a little something sweet, but the daily nourishment that we need to feed by in order to know that we are strong, that we're going to survive on the inside. So we need this bread for nourishment. But whenever Jesus is quoting in Matthew 4 and verse 4, this passage in Deuteronomy 8, it's in the context of God providing that manna from heaven. And you remember when that manna fell from heaven, the Israelites had to go out and pick up that bread off the ground every day. It had to be a daily thing. You couldn't go out and gather bread and hoard it and hold it for the next day because you'd go into your cupboard and find that it had rotted in the meantime. God intentionally was trying to show them, you need this manna every day, and I will provide it for you in fresh ways every day. It will never grow stale. It will never get moldy. It will always be fresh and new, and it's exactly what you need. You see, the Bible is no ordinary book. Of all the books on all the bookshelves and all the libraries and all the homes across this planet, there is no book like the Bible. It is completely unique. And you say, what makes it so unique? Well, there's a lot of things that make it unique, but one of the things that makes it for sure unique is that the Bible, unlike any other book, is a living book. In Hebrews chapter 4, there's a place there where the Scripture says, the Bible is living. The Scripture is living. The Word of God is living and active. It is a living organism. It has a heartbeat. It has a pulse. It has breath. It has dynamic power that is like medicine to the soul. It is like nourishment to the spirit. And this spiritual life that is found in the words of Scripture is always fresh. That's why, you know, you can go back and read some book that you enjoy reading, like a John Grisham novel or a Harry Potter book or something like that that you enjoy reading, and you can read it once and you can get the basic story, enjoy it, and it's entertained by it. But you don't really get any new insight. You've read it once, you got it. The Bible is not like that. You can return to the Bible over and over again, and that message will strike you with new, inspiring insight every time you read it, if your heart and your soul is open to it. Because the message is ever fresh, and our souls need that. Our spirits need a daily intake from spiritual words in order to thrive and to survive. Your soul needs that. You know your physical body cannot live without a regular intake of physical food. You can't. You will die of malnourishment and starvation if you decide to stop eating physical food. You will die. Now listen to Jesus. Man, humanity, humans, you cannot live by physical bread alone. You can only live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You need that regular intake. Now, why is that? Because the physical body, it is nourished and lives by physical food. But do you know what nourishes and causes the spirit to continue to live? You know what the fuel of the soul is? Words. You will live or die by the words you hear and believe. Your spirit will either be encouraged and inspired, and it will thrive and do amazing things if you hear words that are positive, uplifting, and encouraging. But if you hear a word of discouragement that's putting you down, believing that you're not worth anything, that you've got no value, and you continue to hear that message and take that message into your soul, it will shrivel and die. The fuel of the soul is words, and the words that God gives is the most dynamic, empowering fuel of words of all. Jesus would say, Benjamin, you mentioned this when we were thinking about communion this morning, the John 6 passage. When Jesus' disciples are coming to him, Jesus says, "My words are spirit, and they are life." My words, my teaching, is what you've got to take into yourself in order to survive. Because your soul will live or die based upon the words that you absorb. You know, your personality is very much formed by the words you believe and you take into yourself. Dr. Carolyn Leaf is a neuroscientist who wrote a book called Switch On Your Brain. It's a powerful book. I heard Dr. Leaf speak several years ago, and she was making the point that science shows that the chemistry of the anatomy and the chemistry of your brain and the neural pathways of your brain are directly impacted by what your mind meditates on. So whatever you think about, they can do scans and show that the neural pathways are altered by what you think about. If you're a constant negative person, if you're a constantly critical person looking at all the negative stuff in a situation, if you tend to be a sour kind of individual, what you're thinking on is actually altering the chemistry of your brain toward that kind of life. But you can change your brain chemistry by starting to think about positive thoughts. That's why Paul would say in Philippians 4, whatsoever things are good and pure and honest and wholesome, think, meditate on these things. Because when you think about those things with your mind, it actually alters the chemistry of your physical brain. And many people are experiencing the symptoms of spiritual starvation. If you're constantly cynical, negative, bitter, anxious, hopeless, it is evident that your soul is crying out like it is being starved to death. Those characteristics in a person's life, is like looking at an individual who's decided to stop eating for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you can see they're malnourished, and you can see their bones through their skin, and you can say, man, you need something to eat. You need a sandwich. Well, these kinds of characteristics are symptomatic of spiritual soul starvation. Now, when Jesus compares God's words to bread or food, he indicates that we need this regular intake of Scripture, and it is basic to spiritual survival and health. Jesus says, you can't live by bread alone, but you need to live on every word that proceeds from, that comes from the mouth of God, that comes from His mouth. It is basic to how you're constructed as a person in God's image that you need a regular intake of the fuel of the Word of God in order for your spirit to thrive and survive. So Jesus says you need what proceeds from God's mouth. I once heard a story about a woman who was reading this popular novel. All of her friends were reading the novel. She was in a book club, and they kept just talking about how great this novel is, and they just loved it so much. And she was getting into it, started to read it, and she just couldn't get into it. She just couldn't, you know, it was kind of over her head. She didn't understand it. It just didn't do anything for her, and she kind of quit reading it, even though all of her friends were saying how great it was and what it was doing for them. Until one day, the woman met and fell in love with the author of that novel. And then suddenly, she couldn't wait to go home and read the book. And as she read it, she found it to be the most engaging and exciting thing she had ever read, because she met the author. If you find it difficult to read the Bible consistently, I want to say to you, the place to start is to meet the author and to fall in love with the one that wrote it. Jesus says that spiritual life is found by feeding on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Feasting on every word of it. You know, years ago, when we've got some people in the audience that know exactly what I'm talking about, because I've heard you talk about it. Years ago, whenever we were engaged in a worldwide war, some of our boys who had fallen in love with some of our girls made promises. Honey, when I get back from this war, I want to marry you, and we're going to be together. Some of those boys made it back to fulfill that promise, and some of them didn't. But while they were away, you can bet your bottom dollar there was letter after letter that was penned in their own hand. When they would write to their fiancé or their girlfriend back home and talk about what's going on the battlefield and talk about how much they love them. And when those ladies got those letters, do you think they just skimmed over it one time and then threw it in the trash? Or put it in a drawer to get dust on it and never look at it again? Quite the contrary. They pored over every word of it. And you say, why would they? Why would those ladies pore over and read and absorb and read numerous times every word of a letter from their man across the ocean? Because as they read every word, by reading that love letter, they would feel close to their loved one that they were separated from with far distance. They would feel close to them. They would come to understand, she would come to understand his heart. And she would begin to have faith, hope, and love. Faith in their relationship as she pored over every word. She would have hope that one day they would see each other again. And love for her beloved would be reaffirmed as she read over every sentence once again. You see, the Bible is God's personal love letter to you. And the more you ingest it, the more you're going to feel close to God, the more that you're going to feel like He loves you, the more that you read His Word, you're going to understand His heart. And the more that you take in every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, you're going to have greater faith in Him. You're going to have deeper hope in what He has in store for you, and you're going to have deeper love for Him and for your fellow man. It's basic. You know, the power of hearing the voice of God is a powerful, powerful thing. I think I came to have a love for God's Word when I would go over to Grandma's house. I would go over to her house and I would watch her as she sat in her big lazy boy recliner. And over to the side to her right was a straight back chair. And I would sit in that straight back chair and I would see her, and she had that card table over to the side. And on that table was a copy of her Bible that was worn. The pages were yellow from wear, verses highlighted and underlined, and that magnifying glass sitting on the Bible where she was poring over every word and being nourished by it. And I saw her feeding from God's Word, listening to the voice of God, and the habit that had been cultivated in her life. And I began to have a love for God's Word too. And then she passed away. And years later, when my aunt was going through all of her belongings, she would gather old gospel papers and commentaries on the Bible, and she gathered them all in a box and all those belongings, and she gifted those to me. And as I was going through that box one day, I found a cassette tape. It had nothing written on it, and I thought, maybe it's blank. And I put it in the cassette player and pushed play. Imagine my surprise when the voice of my grandmother, who had been long gone, was heard fresh again reading Psalm 24. My grandfather was an elder in the church for years, and he had about a sixth grade education, could hardly read. And the way he absorbed Scripture was my grandmother would read it to him. She recorded it on tape for him to be able to listen to. And when I heard that voice fresh again, the power of God's Word and the importance of regularly reading God's Word, that day I decided I need to be involved in ministry and sharing that Word with other people on a consistent basis. There's something powerful about hearing the voice of the Lord and hearing Scripture, hearing Him speak in fresh and new ways. And I want to say to you, if you've gotten out of the habit of consistently feeding on the Word of God, now is the time, right now, on January the 8th, 2017, to begin a new habit of grace and push play once again and be nourished from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you need some help on that, when you leave today in the foyer, you're going to find some sheets out there, some stacks of sheets of Bible reading plans. That Bible reading plan comes from thebibleproject.com. And I would encourage you to go to their website because you can find that Bible reading plan there, and also some videos that help you can watch along the way, 3-minute videos that help give you an understanding of what you're reading as you walk through the plan, so you can get a good idea of the main storyline of Scripture. Or if you're just starting out reading the Bible and you don't know where to start, I would encourage you to get a copy of The Story, which is 31 selected readings from the Bible that provide the main storyline of the Bible. It's not the whole Bible, it's selected readings. But you can read those and you can understand the whole broad storyline of Scripture and start to feed on God's Word. It's a great place to start. But I would say, more than just reading widely, read deeply too. Sometimes the reason we don't feed from God's Word as we should is because we try to eat too fast and we get indigestion on the Bible. Sometimes you need to slow down and pick just a passage of Scripture, maybe a paragraph, and read it 3 or 4 times in a row in one sitting. And then over the course of the day, meditate on those truths and say, what is this saying about who God is and about who we are as His people, who we should be? And what is God calling me to do personally in my life to live the way He wants me to live? I want to encourage you to start a new habit as we begin a new year. And the first habit is hearing consistently the word of the Lord from the written pages of Scripture. Won't you start that new habit? Today, let me tell you, that's the only way that you can know the way to be saved is through the message of God. And today, if you're ready to begin your new year by being committed to the Lord and surrendering your life to Him, we want to help you in any way we can. Maybe we can just pray for you and encourage you. Maybe the shepherds of this flock can pray with you and give you some guidance and some help and some encouragement. They're going to be available in the library and also down front. Or maybe you're just ready to take the plunge and surrender your life to Jesus in repentance and baptism. No better day than today to start that journey. If we can help you, won't you come to Him as we stand and as we sing?